You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba.
This is Uncuffed.
Stories from Solano State Prison.
Javier Wesson and Tyrone Binkley shared their story with Uncuffed producer B.F. Thames. Here he is.
Sexual abuse and trauma, whenever it happens to young boys, either at the hands of trusted family members or of strangers, there seems to be an automatic minimization and sometimes even praise of the despicable events. Tyrone and Javier share with me what happened to them as children and how it has impacted their lives.
My first sexual experience is from my uncle's wife, and she teaching me things that no six-year-old boy should be dealing with. So I didn't tell anybody, you know. My uncle saw it. He thought it was kind of funny. How did I know that it was wrong? Looking back, it took for me to come to prison to really see it. I mean, I know I felt the shame and the guilt, especially in, dealing with my cousin, their daughter. Up until the day I came to jail, like even a week before I came to jail, she was still on it, you know, making me do stuff. And I'm like 16 when I came to jail. She's 7 years older than me. And it got to the point to where I felt I developed feelings for her.
My situation was, you know what I'm saying, I was 7 when the bulk of it started happening, but 5 from 6 is when the beginning took place. My auntie used to always come home high, drunk, you know what I mean? She had changed in front of me. Like, it just started off with that first, just the backside being out, you know what I'm saying? And next it was the bra coming off, then next it was full-fledged nakedness. I guess she was scoping me to see how I was viewing her body at that age. So it started off with just, you know, her pushing. I had a couch in my room, and she would push the couch against the door so nobody can come in. And we would sit on the couch, and she would tell me, oh, I'm going to teach you how to kiss a girl, you know. So we would start off kissing. When I was 7, she just came home sloppy, messed up one day, hair messed up. She was raggedy. By this time, she didn't gain so much weight. She was too big for me to even try to wrestle off if I thought the process was going to come. But that day, it started off the normal way it would, the kissing. She just, you know what I'm saying, laid me down, held me by the ankles, and just sat on my face. And when the experience was over with, she just sat down with me and was like, this is between me and you. You can't tell nobody nothing about all of this.
Funny you say that, because when I addressed it with my cousin, and she said, well, why didn't you say anything? If you didn't like it, why you didn't say anything? And I was like, you know, we can't tell. It was no telling. You know, who was I going to tell? Your mom and your dad was implicit in it. So who was I going to tell that this was happening? She was like, well, why you didn't tell me to stop? I said, how many times did I tell you to stop?
I don't know if it was the drug addiction or if it was just straight perversion that made that situation happen. But I know with her being so deep in her drug addiction, she probably wouldn't even remember these events if I was to speak to her about them to try to get some form of closure. But people don't believe it because they don't want to believe it.
Was it more damaging that it was molestation or incestual molestation? I think it was the incest part. Speaking on it, when I got comfortable enough to speak on it to the brothers in the system that I met throughout prison, you know, it was kind of like normal. A lot of brothers has been through this where, you know, they like their cousin or their auntie or whatever, but that's not normal behavior. Because if it was a girl, everybody be in an uproar. But because we were young boys, it's something that we should have been happy to experience. For me, even at the age of 13, I started sleeping with my homie mom. She was 35, fresh out the pen. Her son was my best friend.
Do you think that the situation with your uncle's wife at being 6 softened the blow of doing things with your cousin as a teenager?
Most definitely. Even times when being around my cousin, it'd be a house full of people, I would be like, she ain't gonna do it today. It ain't happening, right? I can recall one time being at the top of my grandmother's stairs, coming down, and she stopped and she saw me. And I remember what she had on. She had on a pink shirt, she had on some white Guess, and she had on some pink suede Adidas. I remember her outfit to this day. And she saw me, and I tried to turn around and run and lock myself in the bathroom. And she got the butter knife and popped the door. And she was like, "It's on. We finna do it." And I was like, "Nah, everybody downstairs." She was like, "So they don't know." And that's what it was.
I remember a situation where my dad got another child with another lady. That's like, you know what I'm saying? And I remember them flying from Indiana to come out here to California. And I remember being in the bathroom with her when she was high, like fully naked, called me in the bathroom to talk to me. I'm like, "Man, why you ain't got no clothes on?" You know what I'm saying? And I can still remember the hair all on her body and stuff. And I'm like, "Man, what's going on with you?" And she's just rubbing her, you know what I'm saying, rubbing herself while she talking to me. And I remember trying to get out the bathroom, and she grabbed me like, "Where you going? I'm not done talking to you." And I was like, "Man, I'm a yell. Like, if you don't let me go, I'm a yell," because it was other people in the house at that time. So she let me leave out. So with me, I wouldn't let my son spend a night at a female house that doesn't have a man. I remember watching the movie Antoine Fisher, and when I saw it in the movie Antoine Fisher, I remember crying, and I remember people asking me, like, "Why you cry off that movie? Like, what's wrong with you?" And I thought that was my opportunity to speak. But I remember crying so much that I was shaking that I couldn't speak. I feel like when it comes to forgiving people that did the things that happened, I forgive them for what they did, but I'm holding grudges because it's like y'all took advantage of me and y'all don't even care about me at this moment.
I didn't say nothing for a long time of fear of the family, tearing the family apart. You know what I mean? I think about it for the simple fact that we have a lot of young boys in our family. And I'm wondering if they've had to experience this because I didn't say nothing.
Tyrone and Javier experienced sexual abuse much more graphically described than what I felt necessary to make the point of the extreme wrongness which they endured as children and preteens. I asked that they not use the names of their abusers. Both men have elected on their own to let their family members know, both the innocent and the guilty, that the story would air.
That story was produced by B.F. Thames. KALW's work in prisons is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The producers fact-check content to the best of their ability. All content is approved by an information officer. KALW did not attempt to independently verify Wesson and Binkley's accounts. Stay tuned for the release of the Uncuffed podcast. You can make sure you get it by subscribing to Uncuffed in your podcast app